Warning, this episode of Ohio is on Fire contains strong opinions and viewpoints that belong to the host and guests that appear on Ohio is on Fire. This show contains entertainment and honesty that reaches extreme levels. Please do not try this at home.
My name is Elizabeth Holford, and I'm the executive director at Equality Ohio.
I have a First Amendment.
Equality Ohio.
And these officers want me to leave this position just because you got cameras.
Equality Ohio.
Can you believe it?
Witnesses say during a heated confrontation, a health care reform opponent had his pinky finger bitten off when he stuck it in a health care reformer supporter's face. Police say the 65-year-old man picked up his finger and drove himself to Los Robles Hospital, where they're now trying to reattach it. Police tonight are searching for the biter who ran from the scene.
Enough! Silence! I can't take no more!
Fire! 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 Fire!
Let's just talk. Listen, I'm sorry. You're highly professional at what you do. Get here and reek!
You're listening to the show where Ohio froze down, Ohio was on fire, and of course, for the first time ever, I am joined by Titus Wayne, incredibly talented young man from the Dayton, Ohio area.
Hi.
But let's get right into it with this segment. It is the one and only OMVP, and that stands for Ohio's Most Valuable Pedestrian. Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. Now, in case Titus or the people at home do not know already what OMVP is, it's a shout-out and slash award that goes to either a person or a group of people that either live in Ohio or are associated with the state of Ohio and did something good or something weird in a good way. So that's what OMVP is all about. And, of course, there's always a backstory to OMVP. So I'm going to read some of the story, and then Titus can share his thoughts. This is his first time participating in OMVP, so it's great that he's here. We'll see how he does. But this is from Cincinnati.com. Travis Irvine wears many hats. Indie movie producer, stand-up comedian, owner of a small video production company, unsuccessful mayoratorial run, and U.S. congressional candidate. Oh, and writer, director, and star of Coons, Night of the Bandits of the Night, a low-budget flick about killer raccoons. But this year, you'll be seeing him on your ballots because he is Ohio's Libertarian candidate for governor. So, and here's a quote from him in the Cincinnati.com article. I think humor in politics is always necessary because it does get too serious. It does get too heated sometimes, he said. I feel certainly in my lifetime, satire helps get a political message through. A spoonful of sugar helps the medicine go down. Now, back to the article. That was a quote from him. The 35-year-old, who hails from Columbus suburb of Bexley, boasts an electric resume. He graduated from Ohio University in Columbia, briefly worked on Capitol Hill, ran for mayor in his hometown in 2007 at the age of 24 in U.S. Congress in Ohio's 12th District in 2010. Of course, he's written and directed multiple independent films, has been published in HuffPost, Vice, and Guardian, and worked on a political web series covering local governments. Now, I'll read a few more of these sentences because it takes a while. This would take a while if I read the whole thing. So here's his satirical campaign videos have garnered national attention. For his 2007 Bexley mayoral campaign, in which he ran against a high school senior and beloved town squirrel, among others. He wrote a promotional jingle and was called a new face for a special place that Jay Leno later played on his show. So appeared on The Tonight Show. That's pretty cool. And yeah. I'll read the very last quote from him as part of this article. People keep asking me, do you think you could win? Irvine said. Well, I have a 1 in 4 chance because there's 4 people on the ballot. And if we get our message out there, I do think we have a winning message. So there's that story. What do you think of this, Titus?
I think it's great that there are third party candidates that are running.
Yeah, that's, well, they're trying.
Yeah.
But here's the thing, you know, it's rare for third party candidate to run. They do sometimes win, with Jesse Ventura. Jesse DeBody once won the Minnesota governorship back in 2000. Good at the suit. I know, Travis, you can't see this, but he's wearing a gray suit. I can't move the computer, but I'll just describe
it. That's all right.
I'm sorry, sir, Travis. But he's wearing black rimmed glasses, gray dark suit, and a blue undershirt.
I'm sorry. It's Titus, actually.
Titus. What did I call you?
Travis.
Oh, shoot. That'll be the last time I make that mistake, because I called you Titus earlier, and I had a feeling I'd screw that up. So, but no, you, Titus Wayne, absolutely. Yeah. I'm not screwing that up again. But even if he's unsuccessful at this current run, he does a lot of cool things as well. He does independent films. So, Titus, do you watch a lot of independent films? Have you heard of this guy?
I watch a lot of independent films. I've actually been in a couple.
Oh, what were you in, independent-wise?
Well, there was a film that was quite some time ago. I think maybe 2011, 2012. It was called Bludgeon by a man named Sean Burkett from Ohio.
Oh, I've heard of him. Actually, I've had him on my show 3 years ago. He's a really cool guy.
Yeah. If you blink, you would miss me in that. I wasn't in it for very long. And I also was in a film called The Monarch by Mike Shea, actually.
Oh, yes. The great Mike Shea. Yes. He's another really cool guy that I've done work with. Mike Shea, I should mention real quick. I first met him. I hosted a comedy show. It was like last year, a year and a half ago, here on campus. And he did a performance for us. He was like one of the... We had, like, I think the night I'm speaking of, because I was once the president of the Comic Book League, and we did, like, fundraisers, and part of my fundraiser initiatives was to raise money, and I did stand-up comedy shows.
Awesome.
And Mike Shea did one of the shows, and, yeah, he's a really cool guy, so it's good that you did that with Mike Shea. And then one more thing about this article, which it featured, Travis Irvine, he did, I guess he did satire videos, like it's part of his campaign. Of course, it reminds me of Weird Al Yankovic, because he does a lot of satire videos. And those are a lot of fun. I imagine he had the right spirit with these satire videos. But once again, we're in polarizing times, so I imagine he got a lot of hate. And so he did the best. So I guess Travis Irvine did the best he can. But what it is with MVP, I give a final salute to Titus. Before I give this final salute to Travis Irvine, what do you think overall about this guy? Do you think he's going to have a good political career? What do you think of him?
To be honest, I really haven't heard much about, other than what you've told me so far,
yeah,
about Travis
article.
Irvine. Yeah, about him running for governor.
He's got to try.
Yeah. I mean, it's really, I appreciate anybody that has the guts to get involved in politics.
Yes.
To begin with, and especially from an outsider position,
yeah,
such as running for Libertarian. I think that's great. So,
Titus,
best of luck to him.
Yeah, it's gutsy on his part to do that. So with that, we salute you, Travis Irvine. You may not win this coming November, but you look very good in your suit. You're very funny. I'm sure you're a good movie actor and a director. And I'm sure Bandits of the Night was an awesome horror flick that people need to watch at some point, which I do believe you can buy right now on Amazon.com. So I plugged that for you, Travis Irvine. But not only that, not only are those good things, Travis, you're something else. You are, for this episode of Ohio's on Fire, O-M-V-P. And that stands for Ohio's Most Valuable Pedestrian. Let's give it up. Round of applause. Yes, that's how we do. This first band we're going to showcase as part of the Ohio Music Showcase is a band from Maryland's Ferry, Ohio. They are a heavy metal rock band. They have a really cool sound, because they recently released new music back in September. It's the band Iron Flame. It's in all caps as well. You can go to their Bandcamp at ironflame.music.bandcamp.com. I'm going to play two of their tracks. First off, I'm going to play Hands of Fate. And then after that, I'm going to play Bringer of Fire. It's from their album Tales of Splendor and Sorrow. We'll play those two tracks, and we'll be back live, where I will interview Titus Wayne, my co-host, but he's also my guest of the night, as we will try to get to know each other, and it'll be great. So stay tuned. You're listening to Ohio is on Fire. And we are back live with Ohio is on Fire, the show where Ohio froze down. Of course, this is episode 176, total in the franchise. So I've been doing this for a little while now. Very rarely do I have a co-host, but tonight and for a few episodes, I will. He is Mr. Titus Wayne.
Hello.
And I want to get to know him a little bit. So once again, say hello, Titus.
Hi, guys. How's it going?
Yes. Well, so thank you for being with me tonight, Titus. So
Thanks for having me.
I want to get to know you a little bit.
Yeah.
This show is all about Ohio. I don't know if you've lived here all your life or maybe you have, but what do you like about Ohio?
I've lived here most of my life, not all of it.
All right.
I've lived in the South briefly, Savannah and South Carolina, but
okay.
What I like about Ohio is a lot, actually. I feel like it's kind of a meme for people who live in Ohio to kind of like, you know, trash Ohio and badmouth it and say, but
yeah.
Ohio, honestly, out of any place that I have lived, you will meet some of the smartest, most creative people that I have ever known. There's a very good art scene.
Yeah, I agree with that.
I know tons of really talented artists, filmmakers, comedians, musicians, DJs. I mean, you name it. If it's something that you can make, there's a person in Ohio who exceeds at it.
Absolutely. We got a lot of super talented people in this area. Of course, first person I can think of is, of course, Dave Chappelle. He's one of the all-time greats.
Yeah.
We can go hours and hours on the great arts that's in Ohio.
Yeah.
Because we do have a great art scene, but of course, it's usually in the shadows of the New York scene, the Los Angeles scene, because it's, but you know, that's the way it goes, I guess. But now you mentioned you spent most of your life in Ohio. Now
I have.
As a child, did you visit Ohio? Did you do you have any favorite memories of Ohio as a youth?
Oh yeah, I've got tons of favorite. I can remember as a kid. I read your questionnaire.
Yes.
Some of my favorite memories growing up in Ohio, going to Young's Jersey Dairy in Yellow Springs,
yes,
and petting goats, or the now defunct Americana amusement park.
Oh,
if you remember that.
I love that as a kid.
Yeah.
Dang.
The Salem Mall in Trotwood, Ohio. I remember going there and Chick-fil-A.
Mm-hmm.
There's still, thankfully, Marion's Pizza here.
Oh, thank God for that. It's my favorite pizza in life.
Yeah.
So it's number one. Everyone else is number two.
Yeah. So those are some good memories I've got of Ohio.
All right. Now, do you like sports, or have you attended the sporting events in the past?
Specifically in, like, the Dayton, Ohio area?
Yeah,
yes. I've gone to a couple Reds games. I've gone to Dragons games. I'm not a huge sports fan myself, really.
Okay.
I do enjoy every now and then watching, like, UFC or something like that.
Okay.
But it's not one of my major hobbies, no.
Well, I'm going to hold back on my sports because I won't say I'm a fanatic, but there are some things I really love. Like, I love pro wrestling and baseball. I love those two things. And football.
I used to watch WWE all the time when I was a kid.
Oh, me too. Monday Night Wars?
Raw, yeah. Yeah,
absolutely.
I loved Raw. Thursday Night SmackDown on UPN, too. I would always watch that, and then Star Trek Voyager afterwards.
Oh, I was never into Star Trek, so that's a good little combo there. But I guess to answer that question myself, I always loved the Reds. I did that a lot while I was a kid. But I'll move on because I want to know, it's not about me, it's about you. I got to remember that.
No, you're fine.
But do you remember what? Of course, you're actually in your early 20s, but I was going to say, or mid 20s.
Late 20s. So
well, late
20s. 27 now.
But what were you like in junior high or high school?
Oh, gosh. In junior high and high school, I was really nervous all the time,
yeah,
insecure, depressed. I still get that. Had hair down to my nipples.
Okay.
I was obsessed with heavy metal music and playing guitar. I was the weird kid, art kid that was, you know, kind,
yeah,
of a social outcast. I hung out with the misfits.
Okay.
So that was me.
That's fine.
In high school, in a nutshell.
In a nutshell. This is Titus in a nutshell.
Oh, yeah. Powers.
You have the Austin Powers.
How did I get in this nutshell? This is a very bloody big nutshell.
You did it better than I did. I was trying to do that, but I don't have the accent down very well. So that's fine. But all right, it was good to know that about you as a high school guy. What is your favorite type of music that you like to listen to, Titus?
I love any kind of electronic music.
Okay.
That is my absolute favorite. EDM.
Like Sandstorm.
Sandstorm, like, right? Yeah. Or specifically like synthwave.
Okay.
Especially of the darker variety. If you've ever heard of any like artists like Perturbator or Ghost.
No, not familiar. That's fine.
Time Cop 1983.
Okay.
There is also, I do know a lot of good local electronic music, music artists. There was Yeti.
Yeah.
Yeti from Dayton, Tyler Holler. If you ever listen to this, shout out. I got your name on the radio.
Yes.
But yeah, EDM. I also am a pretty big metal fan, which is why I really appreciate the metal that you were playing earlier.
Yes. Well,
like we were talking about off the air. It sounded very Dragon Force. Love
yes.
that.
Yes. Yeah. I do. I like to rock out to that type of music, mixture of metal and the I think I said Celtic sound. Because the Celtic music scene over in Ireland, they have that. They typically have that sound. So I love it too.
Yeah.
But I want to ask you now. Your name is Titus. That's your first name. When I think of the name Titus, I think of the comedian Christopher Titus. So
absolutely.
Did you ever get teased about that a lot?
No. It's funny because I saw that question. Surprisingly, nobody really makes that connection between Christopher Titus and Titus Wayne, the comedian.
Nah.
However, it's funny because my last name, for real. And for those of you listening, this is insight into me because I go by Titus Wayne on stage, but my last name is Unger.
Okay.
Like, so Brian Unger is the comedian. And it's funny because I just learned actually today because I was Googling it while I was, because I was typing up answers to these questions. Brian Unger was actually born in Dayton, Ohio.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've heard of him, but I didn't know he was from here.
And I'm not related to him, if you're wondering.
All right. And you're also not related to Titus, the comedian, Christopher Titus.
Nope. No relation.
Clear that up. So you're not related to Christopher Titus
or Brian
Unger.
Nope.
You're your own guy. You're a first generation guy, is what we would call it.
Indeed.
All right. Now, for a little while we'll be working together, we'll be kind of a duo, about 3 to 4 episodes. But I was wondering, do you have a favorite duo from TV or movies that you've really enjoyed?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I think my favorite duo right now is probably Rick and Morty.
Rick and Morty, I've heard of them. I don't watch them much, but
yeah.
But you know, I like to think they're influenced by Ren and Stimpy because as a kid, I was a Ren and Stimpy and Beavis and Butthead kid.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah,
those are great.
Yeah, I'm a '90s kid.
Me too. Yeah. Batman and Robin too. Also, I love Batman the Animated Series from the '90s.
I was just going to ask, do you like cartoons? And what did you watch growing up? If you liked them?
I absolutely adore cartoons. I still watch way too many. like growing up as a kid, I watched a lot of like Cartoon Network. So it was all like Dexter's Lab and Courage the Cowardly Dog.
Yeah.
You know, Powerpuff Girls and Toonami, especially if you remember that. Toonami was great. Like early 2000s, 2001, because like not only did they play, like that was my first introduction to Japanese animation, like like Dragon Ball Z, Gundam, Tenchi Muyo, but Toonami had this really cool thing where they would do like music videos,
yeah,
and they would do like house and drum and bass tracks, but then they would also have like really inspiring, powerful messages like believe in yourself and create your own destiny and things like that.
Very inspiring.
Yeah, no, it was like the most positive, inspiring thing that I could ever, like, that I had ever seen since, even for kids on TV. So, like, shout out to Cartoon Network and Toonami. I would, like, they still actually have Toonami. It's not quite the same because it's part of their Adult Swim block now, but they kind of, like, did that because the kids that watched it when it was first on, you know, are grown up now in my age. So they've, like, matured with them.
Yeah, I reckon that's true. All right. I want to ask you this. Are you in any way superstitious?
Not very. No, right. I'm not a really superstitious guy. I think a lot of the, you know, like superstitions and things like that are fun. They're fun to think about.
Yeah, they're fun.
Famously not. I'm not a believer of any kind of like, you know,
so
otherworldly power or anything.
So to be clear, before you get up out of bed in the morning, you don't grab a rabbit's foot and rub it against your forehead for 30 seconds.
No.
None of that stuff?
Nope.
All right, I want to make sure. All right, so that clears that up. Now, I got another good, cool question for you. Where would you like to travel to that you haven't really been to already?
I would love to go to Japan.
Oh, me too. I'd love to go there.
Yeah, I've been a huge fan of Japanese culture since I was a very small child.
Yes.
I've even tried to learn Japanese on my own. I've never taken classes or anything, but like I can read a little bit of hiragana and katakana.
Okay.
Like I can sound things out in Japanese. So that's I would just love to like not even like because there you know you have like the super touristy areas like Tokyo and Akihabara, but I would love to go see just like the old temples and stuff in Japan and just like the natural like forests and like it's a really beautiful place, I think.
Man, that's amazing. Yes, I would like to go to Japan one day. And there's a lot of places I would go, but maybe you'll find it out later. But you know, I was thinking during this tenure on the show, you might have to teach me some Japanese phrases, but down the road, you can teach me that, but
absolutely.
We'll get to that later. But, I think I have one more question to ask you because I'm trying to get to know you. You're trying to work your way into broadcasting as you are going to be co-hosting for me for a few episodes and you've been on Don Smith's, the live program a few times.
I have, and
you've told me that you really love broadcasting and podcasting. So what do you hope to accomplish in the broadcasting field?
Total world domination.
Oh, well, there you go. That's what it's all about.
No, really, I am a huge fan of Joe Rogan.
Yeah, me too. Yeah.
And he has the best podcast ever, in my opinion. He has, I was just listening the other night, going to a comedy show to his podcast with Roseanne Barr.
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
That one was really good. Learned a lot of things about Roseanne Barr and what she went through as a kid and growing up that I wasn't aware of, that she's dealt with a lot of mental health issues, and I have myself as well.
Okay.
So I can definitely, you know, like it especially after the whole Roseanne incident and her show getting pulled because of that tweet.
Yeah.
It was really interesting to see, you know, what that was coming from.
Yeah, her side of the story. Yeah.
Right.
That was really fascinating because it was terrible, but I do think she is sorry. She looked really, because I saw the video of her and Joe Rogan. She just looks really rough and she was looking better. Like when she appeared on her show last year, she looked great. She was active. She looked like she had something to live for. And she looks so rough on that Joe Rogan show. So I imagine she's upset and apologetic.
And she was chain smoking from the sound of it. I could hear lighter flicking.
Oh, yeah.
And she, like they talked about that when she started. So
well, at least that. And from
Roseanne, if you're listening, please get some nicotine gum or a vape or something that's not healthy.
Yes, Roseanne, if you are happening to listen, even though I doubt you are.
That was part of.
We don't want you dying. We don't want anyone to die here.
No. That's part of Sober October is I'm actually 15 days off of cigarettes too myself. So
yes, I clapped that because I've been seeing this on social media. People who've had trouble with drinking and smoking, they're trying to do Sober October, which I am straight edge. But I noticed that's a problem with other people. So I congratulate you for making it halfway. I hope you make it a whole month. I hope you make it.
Yeah, halfway actually today. And I will say definitely not drinking makes it way easier to give up smoking as well, because they usually go hand in hand for me. So
Tyus wants to learn about me.
I do.
And I'm going to let him. And I also don't know the questions in advance. I told him to surprise me with 11 questions.
Yep.
And I'll answer them as best I can. So Tyus, you're mic'd up. You have the floor. So ask away.
All right, Daniel. Okay. So I heard you mention earlier that you're straight edge.
Yes.
Do you have any addictions though?
I do. I got a few because I really love pizza.
Okay.
Which is probably why I've been overweight most of my life, because I love it more than the average guy.
Oh, man. I love it.
And the other thing I like, because you mentioned the Japanese culture earlier. I'm not really into Japanese culture, but I really like Japanese pro wrestling. Like the only thing I like I'm into that's Japanese, which I love pro wrestling in general, but I really love Japanese pro wrestling.
Do you like Genki Sudo then?
Yes.
Awesome.
I also like DDT Pro. I like New Japan. One of my favorites, New Japan Pro Wrestling. They got the best wrestling in the world.
Sweet.
That's my opinion.
Cool. Yeah. Okay. Well, if you could go anywhere in the world, then where would you go?
Anywhere in the world.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be Japan.
I know. Well, but I do want to go there. But my top choice, like if there's one place I could really go, I want to go to Ibiza. And the reason why is because when I was a little kid, I would watch the Howard Stern show when I was a kid, Friday nights at 11.
Oh, did too.
Which is probably why I got into DJing. But then after that show was a show called Wild on E.
Yeah.
And they had these vacation spots. They were amazing. And the one that really caught my eye was Ibiza.
Okay.
They party 24/7. It's no joke, because I've even looked them up online. It's really expensive, though, so I would have to hit the lottery or do something to even afford going on this trip. But there's people they just love each other. There's people making out, you know, people eating. They got good food over there. It's on an island, so that the water's great. Tropical.
That sounds really cool.
I love it. That's my dream spot.
If there's any like financier listening on the radio that wants to fund a trip to for me and Daniel to Ibiza, then
yes,
just saying, we'll take video and maybe do a YouTube show or something for that if you guys want to do that.
Well, maybe, yes. Donate $1 million to me and Titus. You can send your check to WWSU 106.9 FM. I said it wrong. WWSU 106.9 FM. And I'll tell them that $1 million check is not for them. It's for me and Titus.
Yeah.
So there you go. Do it.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah.
Okay. Well, when you were a kid, what did you want to be when you grew up?
Oh, crap. There's a lot of things I wanted to be. Because I'd often change my answer. The first thing I really loved was comic books. Because I would watch Ninja Turtles. My favorites are Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, then Batman.
Oh,
but here's
man.
The thing. You're
speaking to my heart, man.
All right.
Who's your favorite Ninja Turtle, then?
My favorite, when I was younger, used to be Raphael. But as I've grown older, my favorite is now Donatello.
Oh, I love Donnie.
Yes.
He's the smart one.
He is the smart one.
Yeah.
Now that I appreciate education, now that I'm older, I sympathize with Donatello a lot more.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. I wanted to be a turtle because I love them so much. I thought there'd be like a canister that would spill on me. And I would turn into a life-size turtle. Either that or a giant or a radiating spider would bite my arm and I could be Spider-Man. I wanted something bad to happen to me because I thought then I'd get superpowers.
Well, I mean, that's always how it happens, isn't it?
In the books, that's what they claim in the books. Something bad's got to happen before you get superpowers.
Even the villains, they always have a really tragic backstory. It's always like my wife died or my wife is cryogenically frozen and I have to keep her alive on a block of ice to...
Yeah, they do. You know? But the villains, though, they're the bad guys for the reason because they want to hurt people.
Well, that's true.
They sometimes hurt people.
They take it too far.
They go too far. So that's why they're villains.
Right. Okay. Well, cool. So who's your favorite band? Because I know you listen to a lot of metal music.
Oh, man. Well, I like a lot of I like metal, but I like a lot of genres like R&B.
Okay.
So that's going to be hard to pick.
If you had to pick one, you're stuck on a desert island and you got one album with you.
Yeah. Well, I'd say as of now, only because I'd have this radio station to thank for it, I would listen to David Bowie's Diamond Dogs.
Oh, man.
And here's why I would pick that, because we had a, he might be dead now, but we had a guy that listened to the station for a long time named Tom.
Yeah.
It was Tom from Fairborn. He never gave his last name.
Okay.
And he listened to my show years ago, and he listened to a lot of the others. He'd always call. He was a big David Bowie fan, and every once in a while.
Who isn't?
Who isn't? But he really loved Diamond Dogs. He would call in. Not only would he wouldn't request a song. He wanted to hear the whole album.
Oh, man.
Like, he's like, listen, man, you're a great DJ, but let's play the whole album. People will forgive you if you don't do your show so you can play that album.
Yeah.
And so because it was funny, and here we think he may have had a drug problem because he sounded kind of high a lot of times, so he may have been a little smoky.
You mean in this part of Ohio, a drug problem? Really?
Yeah.
That's unheard of.
Yeah, it's unheard of. That's a great memory I have of him. So if I was stuck on a desert island, only because I wanted something that would remind me of so many happy things, it would be Diamond Dogs by David Bowie.
Okay.
And it is a great album.
Cool. All right. Well, next question then. Mexican or Italian food?
Yes, these hard questions because I love them both. I'm going to cheat on this one because I'm going to say if I had to choose one, I would create a combo like no other. It'd be an Italian-Mexican combo. What I would do, I would take a burrito, like a tortilla shell. So that's the Mexican part. But then I'd put a little refried beans in the burrito, but then I would add pepperoni, melted cheese, and sausage, and that'd be the Italian part of it.
Oh, man.
There you go.
Okay. Well, you and I are starting a food truck now, selling those, because that sounds like that would probably... I'm sure people would eat that up.
Another million-dollar idea.
Yeah. We're just going to make tons of money, you and me, Daniel.
Hey, I know you're online on Facebook. If any fans that are on your Facebook that have any questions for me that's appropriate, then you can ask it.
Yeah, because we're not allowed to take radio callers anymore.
Well, not anymore, just this episode. It's a one idiot prank call, then we can't take phone calls rule. Yeah, that's fine. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, if you guys have any questions on my Facebook Live for Daniel, go ahead and shout him out there.
On his Facebook or the WWSU1069.org website. We have a chat room there as well.
I've got more questions too.
That's fine.
If you were going to the pool, what kind of toy would you bring?
I'd want something to play with. So yeah. Probably like a Nerf ball. A Nerf ball.
Okay, cool. That probably wasn't a good question, but...
No, it was a great question.
Oh, yeah. No, so we already answered this question because you're straight edge, so you don't drink.
I do not drink beer. I've never been drunk. Like, a handful of times I've tasted alcohol, but other than that, I've never been drunk and I don't touch the stuff.
Well, it's probably for the better.
Yeah.
Because I was going to ask you, so then what's like, if you were to just get like a virgin drink, what would your favorite drink be?
A virgin drink. Could you elaborate on the virgin drink?
Oh, just like a non-alcoholic. What's your favorite non-alcoholic beverage?
Well, I love Coca-Cola, anything that's Coke products. But what I really love, which it's kind of expensive because Coke is the most expensive pop.
Yeah.
And of course, there's ice cream. I'd have like a Coca-Cola float with brownie pieces and vanilla ice cream. That would be, if that could be the only drink I could have for the rest of my life, I'd be so happy when it's not even funny.
Okay. Travis Charles on my Facebook here.
Hello, Travis.
Yeah. Hey, buddy. He's asking, who's your favorite horror movie villain?
My favorite? I would say, that's a toss-up, because even though I enjoyed the Scream films when I was a 90s kid, but they always changed villains like it was like a new guy every movie.
Yeah, it was always
somebody. So they kind of disqualified. But my favorite villain, horror villain... Nowadays, I forgot his name because it's kind of like a mannequin doll. It's Saul from the Saul films.
Oh, Jigsaw.
Jigsaw. I drew his name.
The Jigsaw doll, not because the Jigsaw was like the guy, the mastermind, right?
Yeah, but the doll's just creepy.
Oh, yeah.
I just.
Do you want to play a game?
Yes.
Yeah.
That gives me chills. Yeah. But that's the whole idea. If they give you chills and scare you, then they're doing their job.
Yeah.
So Jigsaw.
Cool.
Jigsaw puppet.
Yeah. All right. Well, keeping in line with that question, then, what's your favorite movie?
My favorite movie of all time. I kind of interchange that a lot. I would say right now, my favorite is The Social Network with Jesse Eisenberg.
Awesome.
Yeah. That was a great movie. Well, it was based on true events because it was... based on the creation of Facebook, and it really did change the world, and it really touches up on the impact of Facebook, how it came about, and Ryan, that's my favorite.
Okay, cool. Mine's Blade Runner, anybody else is wondering. Okay.
Blade Runner, from the recent one or one from like the 80s?
Oh, well, I loved Blade Runner 2049. That one was fantastic. It was one of the better sequels I can remember, but the original.
Okay.
The 80s classic, the 80s with one. Harrison Ford as the main protagonist. Yes.
Okay.
Absolute favorite movie. I love Ridley Scott. I just found out the doll from somebody in my Facebook said the doll is named Billy.
Yeah.
So Billy from Saw.
Yeah. Cool.
Who's your you said you like comic books. Who's your favorite superhero?
My favorites is I say the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, but that's a group. I guess you want a favorite solo hero.
Yeah.
My personal favorite, only because I can relate to them pretty good, would be actually Kick-Ass. I know that might be a surprising question.
Yeah.
Because I think there's a movement in this country with real life superheroes, in which it's comic book fans, but they actually go out and serve as like bounty hunters or to protect crime, like a watchdog. It's a real life movement, and Kick-Ass picked up on that. And so solo hero, like I really like the idea. And it even though the rest of the story was kind of up and down and icky, that's a really good character. Like that character, like I think if there's ever a movement for real life superhero stories, Kick-Ass was the one that kicked the door open. So that's my favorite solo character.
You know, I haven't seen any of those movies.
I recommend the first film. The second one sucked, but the first film was great because Nicolas Cage was in it as well. And me and Kyle Taylor Steele, we established that Nicolas Cage is freaking awesome.
Dude, he's actually watching on Facebook right
is
now.
Is he?
I see Kyle Taylor Steele joined. So Kyle, if you're
Hello,
listening.
Kyle, we're talking about you in a good way.
Yeah. Nicolas Cage movie review hour.
Nicolas Cage is still awesome.
Yeah. I love Nicolas Cage myself.
Yes.
Too.
But yeah, I recommend the first film. I mean, watch the second film, but I just didn't like it, but you might like it. And the next band I'm going to showcase, they are from Cincinnati, Ohio. It's a the band is Sunday Drives. They are an acoustic-driven indie soul pop hip-hop R&B act from the east side of Cincinnati. Of course, it features singer-songwriter Adam Lee, known for his unique sound and intense yet intimate performances. So I'm going to play two of his latest tracks he released this past summer. The first one will be Jail Time Credit. Then after that, I'm going to play Workaholic. I said summertime, he released these this past spring. So we'll play those two tracks, and after that, we'll be back with the final message.
Whoa, 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 whoa. Yeah. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Is closer. What do I stand for to keep my composure? And I feel the ground shaking. I can stand up straight. I found fate. I'm praying for a makeshift. Prepare to feel the way. One to start. Up two to shut it down, three, you're in my way. Four, same for you. Four, age, 5 days, 6 degrees of separation, 7 different kinds of hell. 8 long seconds to show you what I'm made of, and 9 lives I can show and tell you. I can show and tell you. I can't call in, I'm a workaholic. Crawling out of my skin, yeah. Been working my hands to the bone.
And we are back live with Ohio is on Fire. I'm Daniel Diesel. I am with my co-host of the night, Titus Twain. And with that, it's now time for our final message of this evening. And it'll be a serious subject, but I want to talk about the Me Too movement. And I want to do this subject that's fair and balanced to all sides because it is a hot button political subject. So I'll do best I can to talk about it. Now, of course, Tyus can share his thoughts, but I'll lead. For those at home that don't know what the Me Too movement is, I will shed some light on that real quickly. It's about women standing up against sexual abuse, specifically in this country, but has spread throughout other countries. It's mostly a Western movement. Now, people may not know this because even though we associate this current Me Too movement with Alyssa Milano, this is actually a second wave movement of the Me Too movement because this actually happened before in 2006. It was created by Tarana Burke. She created this back in 2006 and had a small following back then, but it died out quickly. But of course, Alyssa Milano, apparently she was a member of that first movement. She tweeted it out back in 2017, and it really exploded thanks to her popularity and with the rising concern of how women are treated in the workplace. So it's currently in its second wave, and of course it is spread to Afghanistan, Australia, Canada, Chile, China, France, Germany, just to name a few countries. It's spread out to over 20 countries, so it's a big worldwide movement. And once again, to emphasize what this movement is, it's women who have claimed that they have been raped, or they were forced to have sex with their partner when they were in a powerful position, like say in the workplace, a male boss forced their female employee to have sex with them or to have sex with other people in order to climb up the corporate ladder, as they say. So, sexual abuse and rape, and that's a very serious ordeal. So, Titus, I want to ask you, what are your thoughts on the Me Too movement as we know it? Do you have any insight on it?
Well, I mean, to be honest, it really, the amount of people, women, coming out and, I mean, you know, voicing that they have been victimized.
Yes.
It honestly makes me kind of a little bit ashamed of my gender to that. Yeah. That, and I mean, like, not to point fingers at men.
Yeah.
But I mean, like, I think we all need to do a little bit better at teaching people consent and that it's not okay to do anything physically to somebody that doesn't want to have things brought upon them, you know? I mean, just don't.
Yeah, consent is the key here, yes.
I mean, my favorite expression in regards to this is that the sexiest thing in the world is consent.
Oh, yeah. Yes, that's good advice there, man. But I want to add some other things that this mentions about the Me Too movement. There's a lot of criticism around it. A lot of the women that come out and speak up about rape and sexual abuse, they've waited 20 or 30 years. And of course, not that it makes it less terrifying that they were a victim of rape and sexual abuse, but there are some, of course, some women have lied. There has been some, like some of the stories are holes. And then the tricky thing is to know when someone is telling the truth and when someone is lying, which people can lie about anything. I know in some cases, people that have lied, a big example would be Ryan Seacrest was accused of sexual abuse recently, but it was quickly dismissed by the person who was claiming that she was sexually abused. There was a lot of holes in the story. The other thing is that she was trying to get a lawsuit out of it. So one of the big keys is, are they trying to get money out of this celebrity? If they just want money and they didn't want the person to go to jail, and because that's really a major jail sentence, but if you, that could be a sign that they could be lying if they just care about the big million-dollar payday. So, yeah, that's very tricky. So that's the criticism with that. And the other thing that this Me Too movement is trying to serve a purpose. Of course, it's spread throughout the country, as I've said, but it started here in America. It's a bit mostly American movements. Here at Wright State University, it's a big deal to them as well, as there's a sign out on the board. As lately they've been doing questions of the week, which I kind of like. I'm going to tie us here.
Well, I did just want to interject. Obviously, it's never okay to falsely accuse anyone of anything.
Yeah, absolutely.
But can you name one of Bill Cosby's accusers?
I do not personally know any of them.
Yeah, people generally. I can understand that maybe in some cases there have been, you know, cases where people are trying to falsely accuse someone of doing something in a way, you know, to get, you know, some kind of financial recompensation for that. But I don't think most people who are accusing someone of sexual crimes are doing it for fame or fortune.
Yeah.
I just wanted to say that.
Absolutely. And that's a strong point there. Because with the Bill Cosby ordeal, you do have to find evidence, which is why the recent ruling on him was really important, because it was based on what happened to a professor at Temple University in 2004. Some states have a statute of limitations, and some like that stretches out to like 15, 20 years, and some is only like 2 years. So it can run out real quickly. If you wait too long to cry out abuse, then there's really nothing the courts, some courts can do about it. In which, in this case, this lady spoke up in time, the lady from Temple, because it was like within 15 years, so she did speak up. And you do make a point, because I couldn't think right off any of the people that did accuse, because they're not really that famous, nor I don't think they're trying to be famous. Unfortunately, it was the downfall of what was once a brilliant career, but now he's considered a terrible monster, and it's something that he has to live with. So that's actually something me and Adrian Cosby touched up on it a month back. I have him on the show, and it was a big it made a big impact in the entertainment community, in which you and me, we kind of do entertainment show. The next thing I want to talk about when it comes to Me Too is the role of the people that are in entertainment, because I think it's mostly, like it happens in sports, there was a whole Michigan State thing, and then it seemed to be a big problem in entertainment and in big corporate businesses. It was a really big deal in those two fields. So Tyus, I'll ask you one more question about this Me Too movement. Have you, maybe not you personally, but have you ever since, like whether in a corporate world or in entertainment, you feel like people maybe have gone too far with sexual innuendos, or maybe people maybe shared a view that they were a victim of sexual abuse? If that ever happened to you, how did you feel about it?
Well, I will say I'm thankful that I've never had any kind of experience like that.
You personally?
Yeah. No. And I'm really lucky that I'm in the Dayton comedy scene is a very nurturing and very...
Yes.
For the most part.
They're great guys.
Right. So, lucky for that. I think if I was a victim of any kind of, you know, sexual misconduct, I would just be really disappointed.
Yeah,
I mean, man. I can't imagine what those people go through.
Yeah.
And
that'd be terrifying.
Right.
All right. Well, thank you for that, Tyus. So, so to share my advice that I could best give on this Me Too movement, if you're listening at home, whether you've been a victim yourself or you know someone that was a victim of sexual assault and you're trying to be involved in the Me Too movement, yes, the sooner that you can file a police report, the better, because of the court system. But even if you wait 20 years, don't be ashamed, because I would say not only in cases of sexual abuse, but also with kidnapping, with domestic violence, with perhaps murder. Like, there's a lot of things that go by the wayside over long periods of time because people are too upset to deal with it, and that is a personal call. My advice to anyone, so I guess to go to the other side of the fence, for those that are cynical of the Me Too movement, that you maybe think it's stupid, I would say put yourself in the victim's shoes, especially if they're telling the truth. And if they are lying, because yes, there are those people that are lying about being sexually assaulted, try to drive a fine line between telling funny jokes, which I know a lot of comedians do. That's in entertainers. We tell jokes. But then try to scoot a line between being haha funny and being mean and malicious and really making a person feel worse than they already are. Because I guess you can never tell if you don't know the person. I guess you can never know if they are telling the truth or they're making up stories. It's always going to be a story, but really everyone should be responsible in that regard. The more responsible everyone is, I think the more likely we can avoid this in the future, that there'll be less rape, less sexual assault in this country and throughout the world. So my best advice is to be neutral and be respectful of those that are really victims. If you're a good person, you should know not to poke at them.
If you see something, say something.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. Find a courage. If you have to say, if you are a victim, as soon as you can, but whenever you can do it, speak up, talk to someone, whether it's a week after or 20 years later, because I imagine that is a hard thing. And of course, students here at Rice University, that's why the question was posed here on campus. There have been people that have been victims of rape over the years here on campus. That's very unfortunate. And let's work together to get past that. And hopefully we'll have less sexual crime in our entertainment business, in our businesses, in our schools, wherever this may take place. Tyus Wayne, Travis Charles, thank you for the question earlier. Nicolas Cage, even though you're not listening, you're pretty freaking awesome.
Oh, can I add something real quick?
One more, okay, go ahead, Tyus.
Sorry, to mention Travis Charles, he is hosting a show at Wiley's Comedy on October 26th called The Most Offensive Show in the World.
Yes, go check him out. That's on October 26th.
Wileyscomedy.com for tickets.
All right, so also with that plug, Ohio, that's the way it is.